You have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text in the book of Joshua. We began this morning looking at a promise our Lord repeats seven times over hundreds and hundreds of years of biblical history. And of course, I told you this morning, I apologized. I was most familiar with it the last time it was mentioned. I missed the other six. I'm familiar with it when he used it in Hebrews 13, where he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. But he was just icing the cake. He'd done said it six times before that. And I'm interested in looking at those times. We looked at two of them this morning. Moses was fixing to die, and God said it to him twice. Moses, I'll never fail you nor forsake you. We've been looking at a promise worth repeating. This morning, a promise worth parting with. I tell you, don't come down time to die and step out there and don't know whether God's with you or not. Huh? That's rough out there. That's the unknown world out there. I want to know for sure He's with me, day in and day out. The third time it is mentioned is in Joshua chapter number 1. That's the one I want to look at tonight. They're fixing to cross the Jordan. And this little promise is brought up again. Of course, I'm sure you're familiar with Jordans. The choir sung about it tonight, crossing Jordans. You'd almost think God's in this service, crossing His T's, dotting His I's. Jordan speaks of unknown things, insurmountable things, things that you and I just can't navigate by ourselves. And I know this is not true of you. I know I'm speaking to people that this would be foreign to you. It's just me. But when I come upon a Jordan, the first thing I want to do is try to figure out how I can get over it. How I can get around it. Do I need to swim, or sail, build a boat, go to the bank and, get one of them consolidation loans and all of that, you know? I know you would never think about that. Well, in this text, God's saying, stop it! Quit it! Quit thinking about how to get through your Jordans. And I want to look at that promise tonight. It's a promise worth pondering. Instead of filling your mind with how am I going to get through this, quit it. He said, go to pondering this. I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. He ain't never sent you no Jordan to see if you can figure out how you're going to get across. He ain't sent you no physical problem to see if you can find a good doctor in the area. He ain't never sent you no financial problem to see if you know how to work a calculator. He ain't never sent nobody to attack you personally to see if you've got feelings or not. He knows you ain't nothing but dirt. He has sent it for us to ponder who's with us. You've got your Bible there tonight. I want to read the first 9 verses of chapter number 1. The custom here to stand for the reading of the Word of God. It says in verse number 1, now after the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord, came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over, here it is, this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto a land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Here it is, Underline it. It's the third time it's said, I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left. Thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then, thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. You can be seated. Promise worth pondering. This whole thing of getting through unknown situations, unsurmountable obstacles, it's all in the mind. Promise worth pondering. The little word ponder means to weigh mentally, to deliberate. The people of God here in our text are fixing to come upon a Jordan. He did not ask them to figure out how deep it was. He did not ask them to figure out, I wonder what the slope of this thing is. When and just exactly is it going to be over our head? Quit it! You'll never figure it out. He'll change your Jordan every time. Sometimes it'll slope right off. Sometimes you step in, it's over your head. You're sucking in water when you first step in. He said, you better figure out who's with you. Pondering. I notice in our text, what are we to ponder, preacher? I notice in our text that Joshua encourages them to ponder the thought that they are a warring people. A warring people. Our Lord's battles are always seen not as us getting out of guns and swords and doing hand-to-hand combat, but our Lord's battles, spiritual battles, are always seen not for us trying to get the victory, but living out of the victory. Not acting like we're trying to win a battle, but acting like we've already won the battle. And he's got some names for these warring people. I notice in verses 1 and 2, he calls them servants. The Bible says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord. That'd be a nice epitaph, wouldn't it, for you? Tombstone. Here lies one of God's slaves. He didn't have no rights. He didn't have no choices. He couldn't pick nothing that happened to him. God ordained it all. Hello? Oh boy, that's what I want to be, a slave. Are you listening to me tonight? Moses, my servant, is dead. You can't tell God what He's going to do with your Jordans. Why, you're just a slave. You just better figure out if the Master's with you or not. You just follow the Master. I tell you what, if the Master's in the Jordan, you better not be on the shore. Trouble on the shore if He's in the water and you out. Huh? I don't care if it's over your head. I want to be where He's at. Servants, slaves. I notice in this warring people, though, he says in our text, he says that Moses, my servant, is dead, and the Lord came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister. Now, old Joshua, he was less than a servant. He was a minister. What in the world is that? All Joshua had to do was wait on Moses. That's all he had to do. The little word minister here is one who cleans up tables. He cleans up the messes of other people. That's all Joshua had to do. He went behind Moses and cleaned up his messes. For 40 years, that's all he did was clean up Moses' messes. And in one day, when Moses died, he went from cleaning up Moses' messes to being the boss over 3 million people. I don't know how you figured it, but that's a real promotion. Servant of the Lord. Servant of the Lord. I was confronted with this little thought. The top is only reached by beginning at the bottom. Some of you young people, you want to get to the top. Ooh, boy, I want to have what my mom and daddy got. You got to start at the bottom. You got to start at having nothing. Huh? Are you going to put it all on a credit card? You sure not going to have nothing. You're going to be in more Jordans than you ever been in. You speak with authority, preacher. With all my heart, I speak with authority. You get in over your head, you take your while to dig it away out. You listening to me tonight? They're servants. But I notice in the text, not only are they servants, but they're steppers. Steppers. He said, every place, verse number 3, the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given it to you. He said, every place you step, they were called steppers. Hey, oh, don't miss this. It matters not where you're walking in this battle. It matters who you're walking with. Amen. Huh? No matter where you're walking, where you're stepping. You ought to be awful cautious where you're walking, though, if you've got Him with you. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. There's a war in people. What kind of people were they? Oh, they were servants. They were steppers. But I see in our text, you got it there in front of you, verses 2 and 3, they were the sufficient. He says in verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto a land which I do give thee. It's all about what God's done. Not anything about what I've done. You know, when Jesus was on the cross, you know one of the famous sayings from the crowd was, man, save thyself! Save thyself! You know the devil telling me all the time, save myself. Huh? You know, you're looking at an old boy tonight, and I ain't complaining. I've been preaching 38 years and I ain't got nothing. Devil whispered me sometime, save yourself, boy! You better save yourself! Preacher, he'll come in here, say, you better keep some of them members. Man, your offer's gonna go down. You better keep some of them. I tell you what, you better let them all go, preacher. I wouldn't trust a one of them. Church, don't trust him. I wouldn't trust him as far as I could throw him. Better have your hope in him. He ain't never failed me. You gonna go across Jordan's. I don't trust all that crowd say they behind me. I ain't never wanted nobody behind me. Jesus don't want you behind him. You gotta always be back there looking at him. See what they're doing back there. Go with me. You listening to me tonight? This thing ain't about us saving ourselves. This thing is about us totally yielding to Him. And whatever Jordans He wants to orchestrate, I'm a slave tonight. I'm a stepper. I'm finding my sufficiency not in what the world can give me, not in what the world can supply for me, but what He can supply for me. He is my supply. He is my sufficiency tonight. Oh, I cannot save myself. It is impossible for me to save myself. I need not save myself if He's with me tonight. He's got it all under control. Oh, I love the hound. It's helping me while I'm preaching. I'm preaching myself under conviction. About done halfway, preached myself under conviction over there a minute ago. Save thyself, boy. Huh? I don't even know how to start this. Somebody asked me not long ago, how do you get started in evangelism? I don't know. He cut it off today. I wouldn't know how to start it. Preacher, if he emptied this church tonight, if they all leave, you'd be lost to try to start another one. You ain't never figured it out from down there at the storefront. Huh? I tell you, the first time I come to the storefront, I wouldn't have given you a ghost a chance. Huh? I never thought all this would be out here. I was thinking this past week what this church has done for me. I wouldn't say it publicly lest the IRS would hear it. Huh? You listening to me tonight? He is our sufficiency tonight. Our sufficiency is in ourselves. He's with us tonight. But I notice not only are they warring people, but I notice in this pondering now, I don't know what kind of Jordans you up against. I don't know what kind of Jordan. He might orchestrate one before midnight. You might get a call this tonight on the way home. Maybe the worst Jordan you ever been. It may be a Jordan that'll change your life forever. I tell you what, you better not be trying to figure out how you're going to get through it. You better be pondering who's with you. He called them a warring people, but I notice in our text in verse number 6, he called them a watching people. Watching people. What are they watching for? Look at verse number 6. He said, be strong and of a good courage, for in this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto thy fathers to give them. I notice in this watching people, there is a portion to be observed. He said, be strong. We dealt with that little phrase this morning. It means to be tenacious, to lay hold and not let go. I want to lay hold of God with my mind. I want to fix my mind on Him. I don't know about you. One of the worst things I got is my mind. I won't testify for you. Some of the filthiest thoughts I've ever had, I've had them at church. Huh? Mine's just rotten. I gotta keep pulling the thing back. Fixing it on Him. That's what He said. Be strong and of a good courage. Alert, watchful, on guard, with your chin up. How come I want to be like that? The text says He's fixing to give out the inheritance. He's fixing to divide things up. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not tonight. If you've got your mind fixed on what you got, you're going to miss what you're going to get. I'm going to run that by you again. Some of you look at me like deer caught in headlights. If you eat up with what you got, you're going to miss what you're going to get. He's fixing to divide this thing up. He said, what you going to get? I'm going to get everything. And if I can, I'm going to try to get your part. Huh? You don't want it, I'll take it. He said we'd join hands. He's going to divide it up. We're going to get everything that He gets. What's He getting? He's getting it all. What am I going to get? I'm getting it all too. Why would I want to eat my life away trying to figure out how I can hold on to this and miss that? Huh? This here going to burn up. I mean, it's just going to burn, slap up. Huh? I know these Jehovah's Witnesses say they're going to inherit the earth. Tell them, hold on, she's going to blow. Huh? Peter said it was like a nuclear explosion. He blowed the whole thing up. He blowed up the whole world. Made the other side this side. Huh? There's a portion to observe. But watch this. Not only is there a portion to observe. See, Joshua's trying to get their view and their thoughts on their citizenship. See, I got dual citizenship. I'm here and I'm there. I'm not all here because I'm not all there. Right. Citizenship in both. See, I operate in both worlds. Operate in both worlds. I don't want to get eat up with this world, miss that world over there. Huh? He's trying to get the eyes off. He said, this Jordan's going to be terrible. What we're going to face over there is not going to be a Sunday school picnic. But get your eyes on the portion we're fixing to get. There's a land that is fairer than day. Faith, I can see it afar. Oh, Abraham says, I'm looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Oh, to see the invisible God is to lose sight of the visible. Fix our mind, ponder our minds on what we're going to get, not what we got. I notice not only is there a portion to observe, I notice there's a principle to observe. In verse number 7, all through the text this morning, he said, be strong and of a good courage. He said it again tonight. And then when he gets to verse number 7, he changed it. You ever seen verses in the Bible you wish weren't been there? Here's one of them. He stuck two words in here I wished I could cut out with a pen knife. He had to stick them in there. And when he stuck them in there, he took away the possibility of you having one or two good days and a bunch of bad days and patting yourself on the back and thinking you're a pretty good Christian. He had to go and stick them two words in there. Why'd he have to stick them in there for? Watch them. Don't miss it. Only! That's the addition. He has up until now just said be strong and of a good courage, but now he says only. Be thou strong. He has always said be strong and of a good courage, but now he's changed it. Only be thou strong and very. Why did he have to say that? Courageous. I'm talking about a principle to observe. The little word only here is the little word surely or limiting everything to one thing. He said, I want your mind to be mine totally. I did not know you know this or not. I don't want to make you mad. But God's never been impressed with your multitasking. I tell you, preacher, I don't know if I'll be able to cut tomorrow night. I tell you, we got so many irons in the fire, we just wore slap out. You'll not get any sympathy from God. He's never been impressed with you putting so many irons in the fire that you're burning your little old tootsies. Because he said here, only. He says, I would like to have your mind to be mine alone. Then he said, very courageous. And the little word means with vehemence, speedily. He said, stretch every fiber in your being to give me all your thoughts. If you're going to get across Jordans can really play with your mind. Really play with your thinking. I tell you, it's really played with me here lately. Say thyself, boy. Man, this is the year your 60th birthday, and you ain't got nothing. Save thyself! What am I going to save if I was to save myself? Another dirt bag? Principle to observe. Portion to observe. But I notice in verse number 9, there's a presence to observe. He said, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. I know you don't ever do this, but I live most of my life in terror, dread. I wake up sometime in the middle of the night and get to thinking about my situation and break out in a cold sweat. What in the world am I going to do? And I hear him whisper to me, be not afraid. I'm here. Don't be fooling how you're going to get through the next years of your life. He said, you make sure one thing, I'm there. He said, I know how to navigate the 60s. I know how to navigate the 70s. I know how to navigate the 80s. I know how to navigate the 90s. He said, I can even navigate the 100s. I love the hound out of that, don't you? I want to stop right there and have a shout fit. Some of you ought to shout tonight. You in your 60s and 70s, and I guarantee it come through your thought. What in the world am I going to do? Who's going to take care of me? Huh? How deep is it? Do you step in and go right over your head? Huh? Save thyself! Presence. He said, don't be afraid. Neither be dismayed. That little word dismayed means to be weighed down with confusion and terror. He says here in the text, the Lord thy God is with thee. With thee. That little word with, it's a little connector word in the Bible. And it tells us all the different positions. If God's with you now, you sure He's with you. These are all the positions that He can take up. One, He'll go in front of you. The life expectancy during the Vietnam conflict for a point guard was 30 seconds. He said, I'll go out in front and make sure there ain't nobody out there before you get there. And he said, while I'm going out in the front, he said, I'll also take up a position beside you. I'll scrooge up close to you. He said, not only will I go in front, I'll go beside you. He says, I'll get over you. Make sure you don't get any aerial assaults. He said, not only will I do that, he said, I'll get behind you. Make sure nobody ever comes up from the rear guard, tries to get you from there. And he said, not only will I do that, he said, I'll get underneath of you. In case the devil don't belch up anything from underneath, he says, I'll have my everlasting arms underneath of you. He says, be not afraid. Don't be trying to figure out how you're going to get across your Jordans. He said, be sure of this, that the Lord is with you. I've been studying, I think, one of the times I was here last year, I preached on Jonathan and Sarah Edwards. I have studied and preached on a lot of the old reformers of yesterday. One of my favorite that I looked at was old John G. Patton. He spent 46 years ministering to cannibals. And first 5 years he was there, not one cannibal would listen to him. They ran from him. And he had a wife and a child die while he was there. He hand-dug their graves. And for 5 years he lived in total terror, horror at night. Felt like they were going to eat him. Finally, they ran him from the island. He was so afraid. Several years later when he went back, he had a number of those people converted. Thousands of people in the New Hebrides Islands were converted cannibals. And some of those original cannibals on that first island were some of the ones that got saved. He asked one of them one night, he said, how come when I was here the first 5 years, y'all didn't cook me and eat me? They said, oh, Missy, we come every night to cook you and eat you. He said, we scared of them two shiny men on top of your hut. Please don't pinch me and wake me up. I've been telling God when I am afraid, Lord, let them see them two shiny men. Hey, don't fool with me. I know you can't see them, but I got two shiny men up here. Are you listening to me tonight? You say you're crazy. Don't mess with me then. I'm talking about there's a presence to be observed. They are watching people. They are warring people. But I notice in this text, this is probably where we'll lose out. Verse number 8, there is a word, people. You can't be sure God's with you if you don't have a strong relationship with your Bible. Now, I was noticing a lot of you this morning didn't have no Bible. I noticed some of you don't have no Bible with you at night. I noticed some of you in my son pastors up in Virginia Beach. And I noticed some of you are into what he hates it. He told me, he said, Daddy, he said, I hate people that share a Bible. They're into share a Bible. And it's most of the time the man sharing the woman's Bible. I'm telling you, sister, I wouldn't let him see it for all the tea in China. Get your own copy! Mark up your own copy. Her copy ain't going to help you with your Jordans. She ain't going to hold your hand. You listening to me tonight? I'm talking about there's a word, people. What to do with it? I notice in verse number 8, there was the ruminating of the word. The what? Ruminating of the word. He told them, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. That little word meditate's a lost art in the Baptist church. It means to think upon. fill your mind with the Word. It means literally to muse, to think. Oh, we love to do something that's got the word muse in it. Amusement. No thinking. That's what most of us will do tonight when we go back home and turn the Super Bowl on and catch the second half. We're going to put it in no thinking mode. Are you listening to me? We like amusement. We love to be amused. He said, if you're going to go across to Jordan, you better start the rumination process. The little word meditate here means to chew the cud. Chew the cud. You know old cow chew the cud. Chew it, swallow it down. After a while, old cow burp it back up. Chew it some more. Swallow it down again. After a while, old cow burp it back up in his mouth. He'd chew on it no more. Keep doing that, it'll just juices. Once he's got everything out of it, ain't nothing but juice. He does that last swallow. What happens to it? It becomes cow. Joshua said here, you better learn how to ruminate on the Word. Chew the cud. How am I going to do that, preacher? Well, tomorrow, let's say, I want to chew the cud. I got to drive. Maybe you got to drive an hour and get in that car. I'm going to fix this little thought in mind. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm going to begin to chew on that, chew the cud. I burp up into mind, I will never. That little word never is a double negative. No, no, not at all. I'm going to begin to chew on that. Keep that up in my mind. After a while, I'm going to swallow that down into my soul. After a while, I'm going to burp back up that little word forsake. Because today at church, I've been taking notes. And I wrote down the word forsake. And I'm going to muse on that. And I'm going to burp it back up. Swallow it down in my soul. Tomorrow night before I go to bed, I'm going to burp it back up into my mind. Chew on it for that last time. Swallow it down. What's going to happen when I swallow it that last time? It's going to become a part of me. When it comes time to cross my Jordans, I ain't going to be calling him and saying, oh, you pick with me. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Huh? You'll be encountering the most horrendous Jordans that you've ever encountered and won't nobody even know it. You're just walking on because you know who's with you. You've been ruminating on the Word. But I notice not only is there a rumination of the Word, I notice there's a reward. Why in the world would I want to do that for? Think upon the Bible. You be the judge. He said, meditate therein day and night that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, after I fill my mind with, what kind of reward do I get? You be the judge. He says, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. That little word prosperous is an interesting word. It means to press forward, to break out mightily, to never go backwards. Every Baptist I hear now, y'all pray for me, I tell you, feel like my life, I'm just taking one step forward and two back. If you're taking one step forward and two back, you losing ground. You don't lose no ground. Fill your mind with this book. He said, not only will I make you prosperous, he said, but I'll give you good success. He said you can walk, a little word success, to walk, to act wittingly with wisdom, to act with care and intelligence. No dead end streets, no ups. Do you know God ain't never said ups? God ain't never had to take no words back. God ain't never done nothing and said, whoa, I wish I wouldn't have done that. And if He's with you, you're filling your mind full of His Word, you have no ups. I love the hound out of that, don't you? I'm going to close with this little thought, and I'm done. Take me a minute or two to close. But if you stick with me, let me put a bow on this and tie it together. Back in verse number 2, we're talking about Joshua said, this Jordan. The indication from the text there was he did not point over, folks, we're fixing to cross this Jordan. No. The indication from the text was he began to eyeball people. He said, you fixing to have a Jordan just for you. You fixing to have a Jordan just for you. God got one tailor-made just for you. It's going to be an obstacle that is insurmountable. This Jordan. So we know there's going to be personal Jordans for each one of us. How are we going to get across? Is that going to be your thought? I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Quit that! Don't think about how you're going to do it. Go to thinking about who's with you. Figure out if he's with you. Never leave you nor forsake you. You still with me? Look in our text, chapter number 3 and verse number 3. I tell you, this is swollen up on me so big, I don't know if I can get it out or not. Talking about this Jordan. Every one of us got a Jordan. He says in verse number 3, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant was a picture of the presence of God. It was a picture of the fact that God will never leave us nor forsake us. God is with us. Oh, don't miss this now. Oh, it's so good I hate to even show it to you. He said, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests, the Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Don't miss this. For 40 years, God's been telling them, I'm with you. I'm going to never leave you nor forsake you. He said, but it's time for us to stop that. God's come in this church, I believe, this week, and he wants to tell y'all, I'm a stopping, going with y'all. It's time you started going after me. A horse of a different color. Now, he's going to tell us now, I'm a fixing to lead you into some bumpy ground. I'm fixing to take you in over your head. I'm fixing to take you where you don't want to go. But we're changing positions now. It's no longer me going with you. He said, I want you to go with me. I want you to fall in and be willing to go wherever I'm going. I want you to follow me. So you got a personal Jordan. That Jordan is going to encounter the fact not of just God being with you, but it's going to entail you being with God. You falling in behind Him. You still with me? Look in chapter 3 and verse number 4. He said, yet there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits. How come they want to put a space between them and God? I can tell you why. You want to make sure if he makes any sudden turns, you see it. Huh? He's subject to go left right quick. Man, I don't want to miss if he take left and I'm going straight. Keep some distance now. Watch the text. He said, come not near unto it, you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way hitherto before. Now it's going to be a personal Jordan. He's going to impress upon us that it's not us, not him going with us. It's going to be us going with him. But here's a little fault that has caught my eye. It's going to be an unknown place. You ain't never been this way before. Huh? I don't even care if somebody in the church has been through the exact same thing that you've been through. I wouldn't even listen to them when they tell you about how it was when they went through it. But it'd be totally different when you go through it. Huh? It's just like that old girl that one time I had surgery. She put that mask on me and she told me it was minor surgery. She was lying to me. She won't lay in there. Huh? She'd been laying there. It'd have been major surgery. I'd have been putting the mask on her. It'd have been minor surgery. Huh? Your neighbor was without a job. That's a recession. If you're without one, that's depression. Huh? Unknown. going to take you to some unknown. Ain't no business. Watch the text now. Look at chapter 3, verse number 15. And as they bear the ark, we're coming to the Jordan. Feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. Watch this little parenthesis here. For the Jordan overflowed all its banks all the time of harvest. Why in this world God got to pick flood time to go over? First step in. Over their head. Step in. I promise you. I tell you, I'm going to stand over here and wait for him to roll it back. You ain't never seeing nothing. He ain't roll nothing back for you. He'll show you nothing. You'll sit there at Liberty Baptist Church the rest of your life. You won't ever see nothing. But if you'll step in, that's when you'll see it roll back. Huh? You can't sit around on the bank. You ain't going to see nothing on no bank. Oh, watch the text now. Look at verse number 16. That the waters which came down from above stood and rose upon a heap very far. From the city of Adam that is beside Zaratan and those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. People passed over right against Jericho. He dammed it up at the city of Adam. Woo! He dammed it up near Zaratan. Woo! About a 50-mile path. For 3 million people to walk across. Whoa. I tell you, if God opens the way for you, you don't want to go through like this. Oh no, there'll be plenty of room for dancing. If He opens the way. Huh? Are you listening to me tonight? Huh? He opened up a big area. Big area. I'm talking about a Jordan. I don't know where you're at tonight. I was wondering if some of you guys whispering to you about come follow me. Huh? And you wanting to know where he's going. He ain't telling you where he's going. He wanting you to follow him. He ain't telling you where he's going. Might be going to a place you don't like. But all you want to make sure of is that he's with you. And that you're going with him. I'm going to read one last verse and I'm done. And we're still getting out less than an hour almost. Ain't that something? Grace, that make you want to come back tomorrow night. One last verse. I'm reading it. Jeremiah chapter number 12. Jeremiah chapter number 12. Talking about Jordan, this Jordan, your Jordan. I wrote a little book years ago. What you going to do when your Jordan swells? It's out of this little verse in Jeremiah 12:5. If thou run with the footmen, Jeremiah 12:5, they wearied thee. And how canst thou contend with horses? In the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee. How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? I notice here in this little text enclosing three movements of trouble. One, come slowly. He said, I have for a long time been bringing it to you on foot. Let me come to you slow. I ain't tried to overwhelm you. I've just been seeing you a little bit. You've been whining with that. Just be coming slow. But he said, I'm fixing to move from sending it slowly to sending it speedily. He said, what you going to do? He said, you've been whining when it's coming on foot. He said, I'm fixing to send it on horseback. He says, I'm fixing to get it there real fast. He says, I'm going to fix it up where it looked like they're just coming one after another. One Jordan after another. Soon you get across one Jordan, you're just getting in another water. Not only says I can send it slowly, send it speedily, but he said, I can send it suddenly. He said, I can just make your Jordan swell quick over your head. Oh, tonight, let us not concern ourselves. Let us not ponder our Jordans. But oh, let us ponder the God of our Jordans. Instead of telling God how big our Jordans are, start telling our Jordan how big our God is. Huh? Well, I'm talking about a promise. Worth pondering. Would you stand with us tonight? Preacher, as a message that was on my heart, you come. Close the service as you see fit.